It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Monday the 22nd. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. A few days ago, there was news that Google has been working on an operating system that would be built directly into cars. This is a departure from other forms of car tech, where plugging your smartphone into vehicles might be used for everything from better mapping and music capabilities to onboard internet, maybe someday even forms of self-driving technology. All this week, we're going to be looking forward into 2015 and where new tech will have an impact. And the dashboard is one of the next big battlefields for tech companies as well as car companies. Our friend and Slate senior writer Will Arimus has been looking into this. Hi, Will.
Hi, Ben.
Why isn't my car also a computer yet?
That's a very good question. In a way, it's surprising that our cars aren't already computers. And I think part of the issue is the tech companies would very much like to gain control over your car. The car companies are understandably hesitant because they could end up building sort of the dumb parts of the car and ceding the smart parts, which you can read as the high margin parts, to the tech companies.
And also, I suppose the tech companies get all the data and maybe the car companies get less of the data and less control over it if they don't get to build it.
I think that's right. I think that at the same time, the car companies don't want to be left behind. You know, if you're Nissan and you see Hyundai going all in on partnerships with Google and Apple, as in fact Hyundai is doing, you're thinking to yourself, geez, are we going to try to build a whole computer branch of our business? Or are we going to just keep focusing on building cars and make sure that we stay competitive by also partnering with Apple and Google?
What changes do you think consumers are going to see first out of these kinds of partnerships from the tech companies?
Already underway are efforts by both Apple and Google. Apple's is called CarPlay. Google's is called Android Auto. You can have things like messages, music on your dashboard, but it's run through the smartphone. I think what we're going to see next is that companies are going to cut out the smartphone as the middleman.
We think of cars at this point as pieces of hardware, basically having the same way of operating. You use a steering wheel in all the different cars. You use automatic transmission in all the different cars. I wonder if working with tech companies is going to actually start to disintegrate some of that in a way.
Yeah, I think that's the fear of the car companies, which until now, as you point out, have been able to really maintain control over just about every part of the automotive experience. If you buy a car from Ford, but the operating system is made by Google, then you're going to go to Ford when the engine light comes on, maybe, but you're going to go to Google when you need a software update.
Do you see other pros and cons as this stuff starts to play out?
Yeah, the computerization of cars is really exciting in terms of the potential for efficiency. As we start to see data collection, though, you know, you're going to be sending information about everywhere you go on the road, just like today you send information to tech companies about everywhere you go on the internet. And I think there are going to have to be privacy policies when you buy a car in the future.
Senior Slate tech writer Will Arimus. Will, thank you very much.
Thanks, Ben.
Marketplace has been on the air for 25 years, and that couldn't have happened without the support from listeners like you. So please make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today and help us keep our coverage relevant and compelling. And you should know that your gift, in any amount, counts twice, thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from the Candida Fund. Donate at marketplace.org by December 31st and help us reach our goal of at least 2,500 donors. Thanks for your support. I'm going to continue with our cars and technology theme today. Lincoln Continental cars and future Tesla models are reportedly about to get an upgrade to their sound systems. The company Harman works to make the inside of cars really quiet, and now musician Neil Young's high-quality music player, the Pono, is getting involved by offering super high-definition music in those vehicles as well. Since this week, we're also taking the opportunity to look back at some of our favorite interviews from the year. We figured my conversation with Neil Young from South by Southwest back in March was a good candidate. I met up with him after a rousing keynote address at the annual event and the launch of Pono.
Neil Young, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
This project, why do you care about it so much?
Well, I care about music, and playing back music well is really important to me.
Kids these days are listening on earbuds through their iPhone. Maybe they're listening through the iPhone speakers. That presents kind of a challenge for a project like this.
Well, it presents a great opportunity because they're only listening to what's provided to them. So, you know, when you judge and, Someone says, well, kids today love MP3s. I'm saying, wait a minute, I think kids today love music. They love the beat. They love the artists. They love what the artists are saying. Why not make those really big and in your face so that you never forget them?
Do you think this can do that?
It's an opportunity for a choice. That's all this is about.
Are you worried about what digital has done to not just music files, but the culture of music?
The reason why this all happened is because tech companies took control of the creative arm of the record companies and did not stand up for quality so that people could be discerning in their purchases and not buy Xeroxes of the Mona Lisa. There might be a chance to actually buy the Mona Lisa.
Can it be undone?
Yes. It's history. It's waves. Waves come. There's the peak and there's the valley. And quality music, however it comes, whether it's in the form of chemical computing or whatever it is in the future, it's not going to be gone because there are too many people who know it exists and it's too great. It's like an amazing drug that once you've had it, you have to have more, especially if you're prone to like that kind of thing.
I know that you have spent some time changing some of your cars to run more green. How do you think about marrying old technology with new technology and being creative about that?
I love to do things like that. I love to, first of all, any way that I can get something cleaner so that it functions better and has less of an impact on the earth, that's the way I want to go. The idea is to discover ways to replace the things that are bad with things that are good.
Neil Young, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed it.
More of our favorite interviews from this year and looks ahead at next year's technology trends all this week. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.